The Apostle Peter quotes Psalm 110 with reference to the ascension of Jesus Christ. Lord willing, on Sunday morning, we're going to be able to consider that verse 1 as Peter quotes it in Acts chapter 2 in his Pentecost sermon. But for this evening, we're going to focus our attention on verse 4. Sunday morning, we'll talk about the kingship of Jesus Christ. Lord willing, tonight, we will spend some time thinking on the priesthood of Jesus Christ, as it is referenced for us in Psalm 110. So let's read this psalm together, a psalm of David, and we'll read it in its entirety. The Lord says to my God, my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. Arrayed in holy majesty from the womb of the dawn, you will receive the dew of your youth. Now our text. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We continue. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, keeping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook beside the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Again, verse 4, that the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live in an egalitarian age, which is a big word maybe, but really it just means that we think everyone's equal. Think of it in terms of democracy. Democracy says that everybody's voice is as legitimate as anybody else's. What you think, what anyone else thinks, is as valid as what anyone else thinks. I noted recently this democratic perspective portrayed in film. There was a trailer for the movie Robin Hood, a new telling of the story of Robin Hood who stole from the rich and gave to the poor. And usually that story is told in terms of a corrupt king and a compassionate bandit who seeks to distribute justice in the land. Apparently this new telling, from what I can discern from the trailer, this new telling of the Robin Hood story, it takes a very different take. It suggests that the king needs his people as much as the people need the king. It's a very democratic view of things. Kings need us just as much as they or we need them. That's a very modern thought. Politicians live by it. They understand it. A politician today knows that if he upsets his constituency, they'll trump him out and he will no longer have power. So he caters to the needs and the whims of those people that he serves. He knows that they need him as much as he needs them. But that's not the case in the kingdom of God. This democratic perspective, indeed, is completely foreign to the kingdom of God. We may not simply stand up and say, I have to be counted. Indeed, it would be a very dangerous thing to do, you see. No, indeed, in the kingdom of God, there is a king. A king who sits at God's right hand and who exercises authority in all the world. And that in itself would be a terrifying thought. For could you imagine what a righteous king would do to this earth? Could you imagine what a perfectly obedient and righteous king would do to a sinful land such as this? None of us would be able to stand. But the wonder of this king is that he's also a priest. And we're going to see how that very non-democratic, that very regal, majestic, that very kingly priest is for us an enormous comfort and confidence in this life. We may want God to take us on our own terms, but we do far better to come to God in Jesus Christ. We're going to see how that's true by studying together verse 4 of Psalm 110. We're going to study this theme or this passage under this theme. The Lord establishes Christ as his high priest, seeing two points. In the first place, we'll see the failure of man's high priests. And then in the second point, we'll see the faithfulness of God's high priest. The beginning of verse 1, the first faith, or rather the beginning of verse 4 is our first point. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. We'll see how that is a reflection of man's failure in choosing high priests for himself. And in the second place, we'll see you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, that that speaks of God's faithfulness in giving us a high priest. The Lord establishes his Christ as the high priest, seeing two points. First of all, the failure of man's high priests, and the words of verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, which is a rather profound thing for Jesus, or for rather the Lord, to say. You understand that to swear an oath is a very significant thing. It is intended to establish truth. So when you're in court and you need to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, in order to make sure that you do that, the judge asks you to swear an oath. Place your hand on the Bible and say, I swear, may God judge me if I'm lying. To swear an oath is to make true, make certain what you're about to say. So when the Lord swears an oath, he is saying, this is absolutely certain. Which seems strange, or ought to us. For God is not like man. He does not change his mind. He does not change on a whim or have different opinions down the road. When God says he's going to do something, he does it. He doesn't need to swear an oath to prove that he's telling the truth. He's God. He is truth. He never lies. So why does it say here that the Lord has sworn and will never change his mind? Why is the priestly office of Jesus Christ established in such a way? Well, it would help for us to understand something. It would help for us to understand what a priest is. Priests, of course, are exceedingly common. There are priests in every religion under the sun. Priests are the people, the individuals, men or women, who stand between the people and their God. They're the mediators, the intermediaries. And every religion has them. People who have a connection to God and who bring the blessings of their God to the people. Even evolution, which doesn't seem like a religion, it presents itself as science. Even evolution has its priests. Priests who commune with Mother Nature and who tell us her secrets. Just think of global warming. Have you ever read the reports on global warming? Do you think you could ever understand all of that lingo? Of course not. You need someone who can interpret all of that information for you, who can tell you what Mother Earth is trying to communicate, and that's the scientist. He stands up and he says, listen to me, I know what she's saying, and I know how to fix this problem. He's a priest. He's an intermediary between the common people who know nothing and the God that he worships. Every religion has a priest. The Israelites had priests. They had the Levites. And they played a vital role in the history of redemption. They served as the intermediaries between the people of God and their Lord. You see that just in the way the tabernacle and the temple were built. How there was a courtyard and only some could enter in there. There was a holy place, and only some, even fewer, could enter there. And then there was the Holy of Holies, where God himself dwelt. That's where his throne was. And only one man could enter there, and only once a year. The priests of Israel stood between God, the righteous and holy God, and the people. And the unfortunate truth of these priests is that they themselves were sinners. The story of the Levitical priesthood is a story filled with misery and pain. Just think about the very beginning of the Levitical priesthood. Think about the very first high priest, Aaron. God anoints him, has this beautiful garment created for him, has him anointed and sanctified for the task. And what's the first thing he does? He creates an idol for the people to worship. Think about Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Indeed, if you follow the priestly line through the history of redemption all the way to the days of Jesus Christ, you find priests that were not nearly as holy and as righteous as they ought to have been. Indeed, God himself knew that, for when the high priest had to enter into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, he himself had to be sanctified, he had to be purified, he had to present an offering on behalf of himself, because God says, you're a sinner, you can't even come into my presence. Think of that. God said to his own chosen priest, you may not come without redemption, without purification, without sanctification. That's a profound revelation. That is a terrifying revelation. Because it means that in truth, no man can intercede on our behalf. Now again, if we are egalitarian, if we are everybody's equal, nobody's above anybody, then you think, what's the big deal? I have a relationship with God. I don't need anyone to minister in between God and me. But the God whom we worship is holy, holy, holy. He put all of those separations between himself and his people because he said himself, if I let you in, you will be destroyed. In fact, there were people who tried to get in and who were. People who boldly went into the presence of God and suffered the judgment because of it. No man in himself can enter into the presence of God, which means no man can intercede on our behalf. Certainly, we'll say no Levitical priest, no sinner. And that's a terrifying thought, because that means there's no one who can satisfy God's wrath on your behalf. There's no one who can bring from God the grace that you need. What else is there in this life? The biggest issue of life is not global warming. The biggest challenge of life is not that we don't know enough or that we need some secret knowledge to tap into the powers that be. What is the biggest challenge you face in any given day? Is it not your sin? Your sin makes you an abomination in God's sight. So that no matter how blessed you are, if God looks upon you in your sin, he is angry with you. What joy can you have then in any day? What happiness is there for you if you know that the God who rules heaven and earth is angry with you? What can give you pleasure then, when the sword of Damocles hangs above your head? And not just that. Think about your day-to-day walk and fellowship and service. That's no easy thing, is it, in this fallen world to do what is necessary to be married. Being married's hard. To be married with two sinners creates problems and friction and disagreement and we need help raising children. In today's society, in any society, at any time in the history of the world, when was raising children an easy thing? When were parents created with enough wisdom and insight and understanding to do that? We're not. I think that we all understand that the moment we hold our first child in our arms and we go, what am I doing? How am I going to care for, protect, lead, instruct, establish this child? You need wisdom. You need strength. You need encouragement. Indeed, in life, we need comfort. We struggle. We struggle with the brokenness of this life. Illness, poverty, temptations, addictions, sin robs us of joy, of happiness, of blessing. And there is no one who can get from God what you need, at least no human priest. Well, there's lots who say they can. There's lots who think they can. There are in this world any number of individuals who will stand up and say, I know the end. I know the way. I know how to solve your problems. A philosopher, a counselor, a doctor. Listen to me. I know what God wants. Or who I believe God is. I know what he or she wants. And you just have to follow me. It's always been that way. And it's never worked. Not because those people aren't well-intentioned, not because they're not good people, not even because their ideas are so bad, but because they're sinners. Just like the Levitical priesthood. They're sinners who cannot, who may not enter into God's presence apart from the redemption given by another. No man can stand between God and his people in himself, which means no man can deal with the problem of sin on your behalf. We need to keep that in mind. We need to be aware of that as God's people in today's society, in today's day and age. We need to realize that for ourselves. We need to realize that for our families. We need to understand just how in need of a perfect high priest we are. That it's not enough to have the high priests of this world, the Dr. Phils of this society that say, follow my wisdom and it'll all work out. No, it won't. For no Dr. Phil can address the problem of sin. And that's our biggest problem. We need someone who can stand before God and deal with that issue. And that's exactly who God gives us. That's exactly why God now swears this oath. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. God says, I want you to understand something. I'm not swearing the oath for me. God doesn't need to convince himself that he's telling the truth, but he does need to convince us. We need a high priest. We need someone to stand between God and us. And God says, I will give him to you. You don't need to find him. You don't need to put him forward and say, Lord, accept this one. I will provide you with the high priest. And it's not who you think. No, says the Lord, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. That's the second time in the Old Testament that we meet Melchizedek. It's the last time until we get to the book of Hebrews. Who is Melchizedek? Well, Genesis 14 tells us who Melchizedek is. Melchizedek was a king, king of Salem, who met Abraham after Abram rescued Lot and was coming back from the victory. And he met this priest, who he then gave a tenth of all of his stuff to, and that he received the blessing from. That's really all we know about Melchizedek. We don't know how he became priest or king. We don't know what happened to him after that, or if he had a son, or if that priestly line continued on in some meaningful way. The next time we hear about priests, we hear about the Levitical priesthood, the ones that God established in the tribe of Israel. And indeed, therein lies one of the great challenges of what we are confessing tonight, the comfort that, Lord willing, we'll be able to enjoy tonight in saying that Jesus is our high priest. It's easy for us to say, of course we say it. We say, Jesus is the one who can deal with our sins. Jesus is the one who can give to us what we stand in need of. But there's a problem. Jesus is of the line of Judah. He could be king, for he is from the line of David. But he could not be priest. No, indeed, there once was a king, King Uzziah. And he tried to be priest. And he got leprosy for it. No line of Judah, no son of Judah could enter into the Holy of Holies. That was a place only for the tribe of Levi. Now, we might think, well, that's just the Old Testament. What does that matter? But remember that God established it. It was God who said, only the son of Aaron may come into my presence. And God doesn't change his mind. We may want to say, well, take this man as our priest. But God says, I will only take the one whom I have chosen. And a Jew will tell us God chose the Levites. Although the writer of the Hebrews will say, before the Levites, he chose Melchizedek. Indeed, before Levi was even born, when he was still in the loins of Abraham, he gave tithes to Melchizedek, to this king of Salem, of whom we know so very little. We only know that his name means king of righteousness, and that he was king over Salem, king of peace. It's not hard for Christians to figure this out, is it? Abram meets the king of righteousness who is the king of peace. That he's a most unique man. For he is not only king, he is also priest. He held both offices at the same time. That wasn't the way in Israel. In Israel there was a king from the line of Judah and a priest from the line of Levi. But before that, the two were one. A king of righteousness was also a priest. And if that were possible, well, then our problem would be solved, wouldn't it? What's the problem with the Levitical priesthood? The problem is they're sinners. Well, what if there was a priest who was righteous? What if there was a man who was not a sinner? A man who instead came on behalf of sinners and brought an offering, the right offering, to God. What if there was a sinless one? You say, but that's impossible. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Remember, it is God who makes the promise here. I will do it, he says. I will do it. Indeed, he not only says that he will accomplish it, he himself does accomplish it. He comes in the flesh. He obeys all the laws that he had given. He is in truth king of righteousness. He gives himself obediently to his Father. And he offers a sacrifice. He deals with the problem of sin on our behalf. And then when he ascended on this day so long ago, he who is the sacrifice, he didn't bring a bull, he didn't bring a goat, he didn't bring a lamb, he brought himself. He who had died on the cross for our sins. He came into the presence of God and presented himself on our behalf. And his Father accepted him. Oh, and that's the good news of the gospel. That's the wonder of what we celebrate today. Our priest went on behalf of us into his Father's presence and said, I present myself on behalf of these people. And his Father said, I accept the offering. And Jesus remains there to this very day and remains interceding on our behalf. He stands before the Father and he says, for my sake, Lord, bless these people. Think of what that means. Think of what that means every time you fold your hands and close your eyes to pray. When we pray, we're doing more than just a physical thing, of course. We symbolize what we do by folding our hands and closing our eyes. But when we pray, really what we're doing is we're going up into heaven, in through the front gate, and we're coming before the throne of God himself.
And there we lay before him our prayers and petitions.
How dare we enter into God's presence? How dare we go into the Holy of Holies? Remember, that's the only place you will find blessing. That is the only place you will find forgiveness. That is the only place that you will find grace. Do you need forgiveness? Is your soul or your spirit weighed down by your sin? The place to find it is in the presence of God, who alone can soothe your sorrowful heart and say, I forgive you. And do you need wisdom? Do you need encouragement? Are you struggling? Are you tempted? Where else will you find what you need but in the presence of the living God, who can strengthen you for the challenges you have? Who can encourage you and give you his assurance, my child, I will bless you, trust me. Where else can you have what you need but in the presence of God? And yet, how do we get there since we're sinners? The answer is Jesus Christ. We go, as the writer to the Hebrews says, through the body, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we say, Lord, not for my sake, but for his sake. That's why we end our prayers by saying, in Jesus' name, or for Jesus' sake. Not for me. Oh no, I'm a sinner. But I rest in the blood of the one whom you sent. You swore that he would be my high priest. And I now claim him. Think of what that means. Think of the blessing we have. The unique privilege we have. Our God, our Father, loves us, blesses us, provides us with all that we need in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who suffered like we suffer. He knows your need. He knows your struggle. Jesus, who was tempted as we are tempted, sin accepted, but who knows the temptations of this life. Jesus, who died for us. What better place to be? Where else will you go in this life? Where else can you find what you really need? Now, you might not find what you want. You might have to humble yourself. Indeed, you must humble yourself. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner. You must lay yourself at your Lord's feet. But you will find all that you need. Do you need wisdom? Ask. He will give it to you. Not for your sake, you're not worthy, but for his sake, his son's sake. Yes, he will give you what you need. Do you need strength? Do you need encouragement? Do you need comfort? Come to your God. He will receive you and bless you for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you not see? We are the most privileged, blessed people on this earth. The entire earth is trying to receive, trying to find what we have been given. They chase after their high priests. They jump from one to the other. This guy's got the answer. That guy's got the answer. If I do this or go that way. And we've been given it wholly of God's grace, that we may be comforted. Of all men, we're blessed. This is why we celebrate Ascension Day. This is why today is such a wonderful day. Because we have needs. We have struggles. We have trials and tribulations. And we have a high priest who stands before God with his pierced hands and his pierced side. And he says, for my sake, Father, for my sake, come to your God. Enter boldly into the presence of the Lord in your hour of need. Trust that he will provide. Lay your cares and concerns at his feet in the confidence that he will deal with you faithfully in Jesus Christ. Take him at his word. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Of his Christ, he says, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Take heart, people of God, and rejoice. We have our high priest. Amen.